All right, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Got about another hour. Next game for the Los Angeles Lakers, by the way, coming up this Thursday, the Denver Nuggets. So we're going to spend some time on that game, but right now we got our top NBA stories. Okay, Curtis, first story here. Curtis, by the way, as you guys can tell, running the board, producer. Curtis is doing a little bit of everything tonight. He's semi-hosting as well. He's kind of wearing four hats. Did you see this, Curtis? Toronto Raptors.
Darren Williams is my favorite net.
That's 4 minutes later. 4 minutes later, Curtis comes with Darren Williams. Toronto Raptors, Fred VanVleet. Do you see what he did tonight? Any idea what he did tonight? He scored 54 points to break their franchise record. So he actually broke a few records here. So Toronto over the Orlando Magic, 123-108. VanVleet passed DeMar DeRozan for a Raptors record. DeMar DeRozan had 52 points. Fred VanVleet scores 54. And another record, he passed Hall of Famer Moses Malone for the most points from an undrafted player. Moses Malone was undrafted? I got to ask Michael about this on Thursday when we do our pregame show. How is Moses Malone undrafted? What am I missing here? Fred VanVleet, I don't know why I can't say the guy's name, big-time game tonight against the Orlando Magic, and big-time performance, 54 points for Fred VanVleet. So that's kind of a cool story here that kind of came up here in the last hour or so. Let me give everybody just a quick idea, a couple scores around the NBA, because one of the big games. Did you grab that clip, Curtis, from Paul Pierce?
Yeah.
Okay. The big game tonight was the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers have been playing some good ball. So, listen, Laker fans, if you don't want to give any love to the Clippers, that's fine. But you could still tell it how it is. Clippers are playing some good basketball, as are the Utah Jazz, as are the Denver Nuggets, as are the Lakers. You got those top four teams in the Eastern Conference playing some good basketball. So this was the game. And earlier today on The Jump, conversation with Paul Pierce, I want to say, who was the other coach on there?
Coach Fitz.
Oh, yeah. Coach Fitz was on there as well, and Rachel Nichols, and they were talking about between these two teams, which one's more dangerous in the NBA. Curtis, play that clip.
Yeah, I got to go with the Clippers, too. I mean, when you look at the Clippers, they have the only two wingmen that can possibly match up well versus the Nets. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's a great defender, Paul George, too. And if you want two guys in the NBA on the same team, guarding Kevin Durant and James Harden, those are the two guys that you want on them. And I don't see no other team in the league with that combination of defenders that can match up with these guys all night. And so I have to go with the Clippers.
All right, so that's Paul Pierce right there. It was on The Jump a little bit earlier. The conversation was, okay, you got Brooklyn and the Clippers going at it tonight. Which one of these two teams got a better shot at a championship? And both Coach Fitz and Paul Pierce picked the Clippers. Well, tonight, 124-120, Nets over the Clippers. So Nets now, by the way, you know, they're up and down. We know they could score. They just can't play a lick of defense, but they beat the Clippers. So Kawhi had 33. Paul George had 26. But you look at the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, Curtis, 28 points from KD. Kyrie Irving, 39 points. And James Harden, 23, 14, and 11. I lean more on the, you know, I heard Sedano and LZ talking about it earlier. Both of these guys don't sound like they're crazy about, at least LZ definitely not crazy about the Brooklyn Nets. But to be honest with you, why would you be crazy about Milwaukee? What has Milwaukee done and what has Milwaukee proved in the playoffs where you think, oh, well, that's the runaway team. Okay. Philadelphia 76ers. Philly's a nice team. Joel Embiid always has health issues. Embiid's only 26 and Ben Simmons is only 24, so they're not a team that's been there, done that before, so it's not like they've been tested. Keep going down the list. The Boston Celtics, we got a chance in this road trip to just see, I mean, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jeez, those two. That's a scary duo down the road in the NBA. They're not winning a championship this year. They're just not. One guy's 24, the other one's 22. So I look at the Brooklyn Nets, and I understand they got some of their holes on defense, but I actually don't think that they're trying that hard right now. They're not trying to exert all their energy. come playoff time, yeah, that's going to be a tough team to beat. Curtis, if you got to pick between the Brooklyn Nets and the Clippers, who are you picking?
You know, at first I was skeptical about Brooklyn, but that's mostly only because of Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
But people aren't giving KD enough credit. Since he's come back, that guy's have put up monster numbers.
KD looks like Kevin Durant when he was playing in Golden State.
And if KD plays like that, and you know, even and Harden can at least play partially what he is, I don't know how the Clippers could beat them.
Harden is a walking triple double. 23, 14, and 11 tonight. 14 assists, like nothing. You know, I know we joke around about Harden. When Harden showed up at training camp late, by the way, with the Houston Rockets, him and I had, I think, the same BMI. We had the same body mass index. That's not good, Curtis, if Harden and I have the same diet. Okay.
He was a walking triple-double and probably ate a triple-double before the shoot-around.
All right. You know, I was nicer than you. But I do look at that matchup. That was a great game tonight. Brooklyn by 4 over the Clippers. Those two teams, I think, will continue to be interesting. I think there are a lot of Laker fans that are not, you know, Michael always said this, why should we talk about the Clippers until they do something in the playoffs? Okay, he's right about that. They've never got past the second round. I think this year it happens. It means nothing because I thought last year was going to happen as well. All right, let's keep moving on here in our top NBA stories. So it looks like we're actually going to have an all-star game in Atlanta on March 7th. Curtis, you went on an all-star game or no go?
I don't know, man. It's like, I don't know if it's really the time. Maybe mm-hmm. if it's a little better, but I mean, you see this week would have been when the Pro Bowl happened and they canceled that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's fun, you know, but I think we've talked about this. The only real fun thing for All-Star Weekend, you know, is the Saturday night with the dunk contest and the mm-hmm. three-point. That's all I ever watched it for.
Okay, listen, I might be the only one here. And I really think I'm on an island here. Last week, the idea was starting to get floated around. You started hearing some rumors about it. Michelle Roberts, who represents the Players Association, Chris Paul, obviously the Players Union, represent the Players Association as well. The idea started being floated around. Now it looks like it's inevitable. Like, it's going to happen March 7th in Atlanta. And I think the way they're going to do it, they'll have East versus the West, All-Star game, and then a skills competition. That's it. Nothing else. So it's going to be on that Sunday and nothing else. So let me kind of put it both ways. Here's the good thing with having an All-Star game. The good thing is, I mean, listen, it's more sports. We only get once a year where we get to see the greatest players in the world on the court all at the same time. I hope the structure of it is going to be similar to the way it was last year, where there was no running clock in the fourth quarter. You had to reach a certain amount of points. Guys were actually playing defense. I hope that part happens. So I think from an entertainment perspective, I don't know about you, but I would watch it. I'm going to watch it.
If it's in Atlanta, is Courtside Karen there?
Courtside Karen, she has season tickets. So any game, doesn't matter, all-star, no all-star game, Courtside Karen has tickets.
All right, she better be courtside.
And don't you ever question Courtside Karen again. all right, so we'll get into Karen in a second. As you could tell, I didn't really care about that story. Not exactly my cup of tea. The bad part about this is if they do the All-Star game, the bad is obvious. Let's just look at it from a pure Laker perspective. Do you really need LeBron James and Anthony Davis to play in an All-Star game? I mean, these guys already, the way that the NBA is set up right now, March 5th through the 10th is supposed to be their days off, right? That's supposed to be their days off for the entire NBA. So now you're throwing a game in on the 7th. I'm sure they probably will have a couple appearances or do whatever they do with their sponsors. Yeah, probably not that good of an idea for the Lakers specifically. Okay, let's take it another kind of layer. Is it good during COVID-19, right? I mean, just kind of taking everything under the circumstances, it's just another risk to potentially somebody, you know, and not just the players, the personnel, the people that are putting the event together and everything else. It just increases your chances of somebody testing positive for COVID-19. So there are some positives. There are definitely some negatives as well, but it sounds like there's an all-star game coming on March 7th.
I mean, it just takes one guy to be there. one person from one team can affect all the other teams depending on who's there. It's just, I don't know if it's worth the risk right now.
Okay, so let me play off of that real quick. Yesterday there was a game. You're listening to our top NBA stories right now, Lakers Talk. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Yesterday, the Pistons and the Nuggets were supposed to play each other, and I think right before tip-off, the game was postponed. Literally last night, right before the game started. So there was a positive, or there was an inconclusive coronavirus test on a player for the Pistons. So they postponed the game. This is the way the NBA is kind of handling this now. Why do I bring this up? Because the next two games for the Lakers are against the Nuggets and the Pistons. So Thursday, Lakers play the Denver Nuggets. Saturday, they play the Pistons. So I haven't really heard much, anything more on this. But I will say that, you know, obviously we'll keep an eye out and see if anything happens from here. Got to be honest. You know, Curtis, if you look back 6 months ago, maybe even less than that, look back 3 months ago, coming into this NBA season, I had no idea what to expect coming in. I think the league has done pretty damn good job of getting through this season so far. Lakers are already 30% through the season. I know we've had 20-plus games postponed, but I don't think there's anything else you can do, and the league is still kind of moving along. Would you agree that it's been pretty impressive what they've done so far?
I mean, didn't they have no issues in the bubble? That was amazing in itself, and I think
not one positive test in the bubble.
I think they've handled it better than the NFL did, and the NFL's still going too. But yeah, I think Adam Silver had a plan from the beginning, and I don't think he gets enough credit either. I think that he's the one person I think that's handled it the best between, you know, all the commissioners.
Okay, so even with that, just sports in general, we got the Super Bowl this Sunday. As in, the NFL got through its season. That is incredible to me that the NFL got through its season. College football crowned a college football champion, even though teams played half the amount of games as the other. I mean, the college football was all screwed up, but they got through it. Major League Baseball, I know they only played 60 games. They got through their season. I'm just impressed that they got this far. And the NBA, yes, they've had some hiccups, but listen, we're still doing these games every single day. Knock on wood, Lakers have not had a game postponed yet. All right, when we come back, who's had more impact so far this season? Montrezl Harrell or Dennis Schroeder? Between those two players, between Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, who's had more impact so far for the Los Angeles Lakers? 877-710-ESPN. This conversation Michael Thompson and I had yesterday. I think actually it's worth a longer conversation. Pre-game show, things are just kind of flowing and going. So we'll talk about that coming up next. I'll take some of your phone calls. I'll read some of your tweets. Thank you for tuning in. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I appreciate you guys being a part of the show. We'll go to 9 p.m. Brad Turner covers the Lakers for LA Times coming up at 8:45. Lakers taking on the Denver Nuggets coming up Thursday. I forget what day it is. I swear, during the Lakers season, you just kind of mix everything together. By the way, just a kind of quick shout-out here. So if you guys heard at 5 p.m., we got some shifting coming into some of the lineups here. And Scott Kaplan, who typically does the evening show, is going to join Sedano and LZ. So it'll be Sedano, LZ, and Cap. They'll do their show from 4 to 7. Travis Rogers and I, Sweet T and Sliwa, we're going to do a show from 7 to 9 p.m. on evenings now. So I'm really looking forward to working with Travis. I got to be honest, I've known Travis, obviously, since I've been here at the station, and just a good dude. So I get a chance to work with him, a pro's pro, somebody that's been doing this for a long time. I'm looking forward to it. So starting, I don't think our first show is until February 11th. We'll go 7 to 9 p.m., so we'll kind of continue the local talk until 9 p.m., and still do Monday night Lakers talk, still obviously do pre and post. But, Curtis, why don't you just take any remaining time that you had off and share it with Travis. That's my life goal. It's my life goal.
Well, I'm coming with you guys. So
come on down.
It's gonna be we're back again a year later. So
come on down. So just some news right there. Okay, I think I mentioned this, but I got to mention it again here. Thank you to our newest sponsor of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. It's powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, so we appreciate their partnership. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. Thank you to our newest sponsor. You know, it is kind of interesting here. You know, anytime you need to get your car serviced, how long do you often just wait? And you're like, you know what? I'll just take care of it later. That light is on. How do I turn that light off? Just go get your oil change. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It takes 15 minutes. Appreciate their partnership.
I'm not lying, man. I go there. I'm in and out in like 5 minutes to do and I got a European car. It takes a little bit more work.
Messing around
quick.
They're not messing around there. We'll get a cup of coffee. I lost a half hour waiting in line. Go to Costco on 1 hour later. I still haven't even got the one thing that I went there for. I don't think you go to Costco for one thing. All right. Who's had more impact so far this season between Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder? More impact so far this season between Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder. Michael and I were going through this yesterday, and I want to, first say this. I have different expectations for those two players for the Lakers. I don't know if everybody feels this way, but my expectations for KCP and Kyle Kuzma and Talen Horton-Tucker and Alex Caruso, the expectations I have for Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell are different than those guys. I'll kind of explain what I'm referring to here. KCP, I don't know what I'm going to get every single night, even though let's not pretend. KCP's been fantastic. He was great during that playoff run. He was great to start off the season. Last five games, KCP has struggled. Yesterday, 3-6 from the three-point line. KCP is going to get back. He's going to turn it around. But KCP, you're not expecting for him to get 15 to 18 points a night. It's just not going to happen. Kuz has proven that he's not going to give you that type of production every single night. What you're hoping from Kuzma is he's a smart role player, that he's taking the right shots, that he's playing defense. He put out such a good tweet yesterday. I don't know if it was Spectrum that threw out the tweet, and it was showing Kuzma's defense on Trae Young towards the end of the game, and Kuz was all over him. Fantastic defense by Kuz. Kuz retweets it and puts something like, "I thought Kuzma can't play defense," or something along those lines. But Kuz, you're not really looking at Kuz and saying, "Well, I know this is what Kuz is going to do every single night." A lot of times it's a lottery. Talen Horton-Tucker, this stage of his career, it's a lottery. I'm not sure. I might hit, I might not hit. Alex Caruso, you know exactly what his role is, but it's going to be his value really comes on the defensive side. Montrez and Dennis Schroeder, it's a necessity that those two guys deliver for the Lakers every night. Every night. I was given those two players. I talked about after the loss to the Philadelphia 76ers and the loss to the Detroit Pistons, I was pointing fingers at those two players, especially after that loss to the Pistons. I was saying, wait a minute here. These guys didn't come on the Los Angeles Lakers to have a good game every other game, or two out of three games they're above their averages or right at their averages. No, I mean, it's critical that both those players deliver on a night-in, night-out basis. And these last two games against Boston and against the Atlanta Hawks, they were fantastic. They were fantastic in their own way. Dennis Schroeder was fantastic of distributing, getting the ball to other guys, plus kind of getting his offense going. Montrezl Harrell is just stupid, his percentage that he shoots. Now, I know he's not stepping out and taking 18-footers, but when you're shooting 8 of 9 from the field, 8 of 10 from the field, and I know a lot of that is down low, kind of doing the dirty work, those are great numbers for the Lakers. So between those two guys, Michael and I were making the argument yesterday, okay, which of those two players has had more of an impact so far to start the season? I thought Michael's point was interesting. Michael said he thinks Montrezl Harrell, and the argument that he was making was with Montrez, it's more needed because you don't have enough players in that position. So everything that Montrezl Harrell does is critical. if Dennis Schroeder doesn't have a good game, Caruso can have a good game. KCP can have a good game. There's more guards. Talen Horton-Tucker could have a good game. Wesley Matthews might have one of those games where he gives you five or six threes or whatever the case is. I know that hasn't happened much this season. But there were other guys that can kind of step in. I'm going to read off a couple tweets here. Raul G says, Harrell for sure, as it's been harder for him. Dennis has the ball a lot as a point guard, while Harrell does not. So he thinks Montrezl Harrell has had more of an impact so far this year. Okay. Read off another one. Dennis Schroeder. This is from Kobe 3. Dennis Schroeder. His shot will come around, but his defense is disruptive. Also, his ability to facilitate to run the second gives Bron much needed rest. I like Trez too, though. Okay, so you got a lot of this, by the way. Laker fans picking and choosing kind of who they feel like's had more impact. Somebody's asking me on here, well, why do I have to choose? Well, because it's a debate show. That's what we do. We pick up topics and we kind of debate the topics, all right? Michael Goldman. Okay, so with that being said, I'm kind of fall on the line of, I think Montrez has been more impactful so far. And I think he's been a little bit more consistent than Dennis Schroeder as well. The one thing, and I've mentioned this a couple times, I'd love to see from Schroeder, can Dennis Schroeder become more of a facilitator for the Lakers? Schroeder should not be having, there shouldn't be games where he has two assists. He just shouldn't. Just like with Montrezl Harrell, you can't really walk away from games and it'd be the equivalent of Montrez only having two rebounds. Both of these players, aside from points, got to find other ways to impact the game. And I look at both of these guys. They've been impactful so far this year, but it's a necessity that these two are contributing for the Lakers night in and night out. I do think so far, if I had to kind of pick between the two, I'd say Montrez has had more impact so far. Okay, when we come back, I want to spend a little time on this. I waited an hour and a half to give my thoughts. What was her name? Juliana Carlos?
I only say Courtside Karen. I don't know.
All right, I waited an hour and a half for Courtside Karen. By the way, it's not going to be long. It's just going to be my quick thoughts on it. Not a big drama guy, Curtis. Not a big, you know, it's not really my cup of tea. Plus, Dwayne Wade talked about LeBron James. I don't know what platform. What was that on, Curtis? Do you know? Does it say?
No, I have to follow through with it.
It might be on TNT. I do want to play because he talked about how LeBron's game, he didn't think LeBron's game could get better just because of his age. Yet here he is still making things happen, so we'll do that. All that's coming up next. Brad Turner still coming up at 8:45. If you want to be a part of Lakers Talk, 877-710-ESPN. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Alan Sliwa on 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Eric in L.A. Eric, appreciate you calling into Lakers Talk. What's going on, Eric?
Alan, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, you know, your question about Schroeder and Harrell, I mean, I think both have kind of given us what we thought they were going to give us. In fact, I think with DS, Schroeder, mm-hmm. His defense has been better than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Very feisty. You know, I think I'm thinking Vogel has kind of provided those fundamentals where he's to the point where I think one of the best defensive point guards in the NBA. But I will say, Alan, and I'm wondering if you agree with me here, I think this team is better off with Schroeder coming off the bench and maybe, you know, doing his thing with the second unit and having AC start with LBJ and the rest of the guys. I mean, the numbers bear it out. I think AC is a better fit with the starting unit. And I know Vogel has been sort of monitoring AC's minutes. But again, I'm wondering what your thoughts are. DS coming off the bench, ball handling with that second unit, and having AC start with that first unit.
Appreciate you calling in. Thanks, Eric. Okay, so, you know, the Dennis Schroeder off the bench. I always actually assumed Dennis Schroeder was going to come off the bench. When the Lakers signed him, I thought he was going to come off the bench. If you guys remember, there was a media call right when Dennis Schroeder got to the Lakers and he's working out at the Lakers training camp. I actually thought it was really cool. He literally addresses the media and he's at the Lakers practice facility and the dude's shooting around. Like, I mean, he's practicing and everything else. And he mentioned that, you know, his days of coming off the bench, okay, yeah, that was in Oklahoma City. He wants to be a starter for the Lakers. You can make a case either way. I thought in the beginning, hey, you know what? Go Wesley Matthews, go KCP, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Marc Gasol. That's going to be similar to what you had last year when it was Danny Green and KCP. Well, now if you ask me, do you want Wesley Matthews in the starting lineup? The answer would be no. And who starts versus who closes is a much different question. I always reference Michael Thompson a ton just because, look, the guy played in freaking arguably the best era of basketball. He played against all the greats. And Michael says, listen, yes, you can start a game, but it's much more a compliment of who ends the game. And I don't think you need Alex Caruso to start the game. I don't think how necessary that is, but I think Caruso is a must right now to close out a game. So with that in mind, I take Eric's point. I understand where he's coming from. I don't know if I would do that combination if Schroeder was coming off the bench. I don't think Schroeder's coming off the bench. I think what you're getting right now is what you're going to get the rest of the season. Dennis Schroeder is going to be starting. I'm going to read off a couple more tweets here. All right, Andy, and then about 34 numbers following his Twitter handle, says, this is tough. Both have been great, really. I think Schroeder has a tougher role to figure out. At Wally's on Twitter says, very hard question, but low-key Trez off the bench has bailed us out in certain situations. I had to clear my throat there. Sorry, Laker fans. Sorry. So, listen, I'll just say this just to kind of put a cap on the Montrez-Dennis Schroeder part. Both guys, I just want to see them be the expectations are much higher for those two than it is for some of the other role players for the Lakers. They are incredibly, incredibly key to perform night in and night out. I was trying to think of this because of how the Lakers have, and this is actually going to be a good conversation with Brad Turner when he comes up. BT coming up here shortly with the LA Times. Who do you close games out with? I've asked this question before, but it was early in the season before we really got an opportunity to kind of see all these guys perform. Who do you leave out of a closing game? It's actually not easy. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, now you got three spots left to close out a game. All right? This is a perfect example because we're talking about Alex Caruso and the Montrez, the Dennis Schroeders. Okay. I think Caruso's a lock. You have to have him in to close out games, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter what the lineups are. I think Caruso's got to be in to end the game. So you only got two spots left, and you got Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, and KCP. It's not easy. Honestly, it's not easy. I'm having trouble figuring out how the Lakers close out some of these games. So if you have some thoughts, I got actually a couple on Twitter that I'll read off. But I got to be honest with you. This was not an easy conversation for me to figure out. I mean, I'm still kind of struggling with it. I think I would want Montrezl Harrell in the game, and then it just comes down to one more player that you want in. Do you want KCP or you want Dennis Schroeder? And KCP is just so clutch on, you know, his outside shooting and a threat to hit shots. And then, of course, Dennis Schroeder has a ton of abilities as well. So let me read off a couple of these tweets. Abel Guzman says, it's awesome the Lakers have that much versatility to have that type of problem. Okay, but then he did not give me. Abel dodged the question. Lidis Artie on Twitter says, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Alex Caruso, Montrezl Harrell, and KCP. Robert Malone says Dennis Schroeder sits, so he's going with the same lineup. KB Lakeshow says Alex Caruso, Dennis Schroeder, KCP, LBJ, and Anthony Davis. I mean, it really is. I guess it's one of those things where, you know, for the Lakers, it is kind of a luxury. But I think that's it's a fair question to ask and a tough question to ask. If you ask me right now how to close out a game, I'll probably go Caruso, KCP, Montrezl Harrell, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. So those are my five. And this seems like it will change month to month just on how players are doing. But each one of these guys, I got to have Caruso in at the end of the games. Of course, LeBron and Anthony Davis. Then it's a matter of, do you want a little bit more size or do you want more speed? I think we're too small if Montrez is not in the game. All right, coming up next, BT, Brad Turner coming up. I got to get into a couple things with Brad. By the way, I didn't even get into Juliana Carlos, did I? Okay, I'm going to make this real quick. I really don't care about this story. I got no interest in that story. That side stuff that was going on yesterday with the Lakers, the only thing that stuck out to me is when LBJ said that he misses having fans. And, you know, LBJ obviously talking about how great of an impact that has during games. And that's two fans that have chirped towards LeBron. Remember the game against the Cleveland Cavaliers? You had that front office guy too excited at the end of the third quarter. LeBron outscored the Cavs 21-19 on his own. And then I don't know what the heck that was yesterday. And God bless these people that are looking for 15 minutes of fame. But for the love of God, the coverage some of these people get, Curtis, I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, why?
I saw it getting replayed on like SportsCenter this morning.
I don't understand. I don't understand how they get that much love. Definitely not a fan of the whole let's prop these people up and give them their 15 minutes of fame. No, thank you. So that's all I got on that one. Brad Turner coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, thank you very much for tuning in. We got Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers Talk. BT, what's going on?
Man, Alan, everything is great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, BT, we got that open here, and we're playing 12 years ago today. Kobe Bryant goes off for 61 points at the Madison Square Garden. What do you remember about that game? Just kind of looking back, Ireland, you know, obviously you heard him interviewing Kobe right after the game. What do you remember about that game, and were you at that game?
The first thing I remember is that I was not there, so mm-hmm. I'm not happy about that right now. I think it was a game where Brethingham and I both did not travel, only he traveled. And I want to say one of my columnists also went. So I got to watch it at home, and I kept going like, is this for real? is Kobe really going to do this in the famous Madison Square Garden? And yes, it was for real. And he really did that. I mean, it was amazing because it's the place where everyone says, if you really want to be a star, you want to make it, you become that star in New York City. Well, he was the star, and he had all the stars looking at him for the show he was going to put on.
You know, it's interesting, Brad, because yesterday this came up in the pregame show. Myself, Michael Thompson, who God knows how many bottles of wine that he owes you, John Ireland, we're having the conversation about the best road games where Laker fans just take over arenas, and they kept talking about the Atlanta Hawks. Like, man, Al, if you've ever been, and I have not been, I've not been to a game in Atlanta, but they were trying to describe that if COVID wasn't going on and LeBron James and Anthony Davis were walking into Atlanta, that over 50% of that fan base would have been Laker fans. But it makes me think back in those Kobe days, and we certainly see it now with LeBron. There's certain players, you walk into certain arenas, and it's just a different vibe. And that game, Kobe putting up that 61, I'm sure, you know, it one of kind of the special moments, not just for Laker fans, but just NBA fans that appreciate the game. And there's certain arenas that, you know, these Laker fans are certainly in. Yesterday was against Atlanta, and then that game I'm talking about with the Knicks.
You know what I love about what Kobe and LeBron James that they do? They know that they're only going to be on the East Coast once. And fans want to see them play, and they don't want to disappoint those fans. They want to give them that effort. They want to give them something to talk about when they leave the arena. And I got to say, I think the first guy to really do that may have been Michael Jordan.
You might be right.
MJ wanted to put on a show at Madison Square Garden in Atlanta because Dominique Wilkins was down there and because Dikembe Mutombo was this big defensive presence. But, man, Kobe believes that you get paid to play 82 games. You play them no matter what's ailing you, no matter what's hurting, you play those games. And not only do you play, to put on a show. And he, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James are two of the best showmen that I've ever come across that I've got a chance to watch in person.
That's a good way to put it. Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers talk. Next game for the Lakers, not until Thursday, so they play the Denver Nuggets on Thursday. BT, how much are you paying attention to the NBA standings right now? Just kind of looking, you know, Clippers lost to Brooklyn earlier tonight. You had the Utah Jazz, I think, lose to Denver yesterday. A half game separates, actually, Lakers and the Clippers, same record. Half game, technically, I don't know, the way you want to look at it, from the loss column separates the Lakers, Clippers, and the Jazz. Are you paying much attention right now to what the standings look like, or do you just think, look, if you're the Lakers, you know you're one of the, if not the best team in the NBA, and just kind of keep going through the regular season, don't pay too close attention to the standings? How do you kind of view that?
Well, Alan, now that you bring it up, I am looking at the standings. No, actually, I took a look at them earlier today because I was curious to see what it looked like, and I did see that Utah, the Clippers, and the Lakers are all just kind of right there. With
virtually in a tie, right.
You know, and it was, I do it periodically just to see what's going on the league, winning streaks, losing streaks. But it still doesn't matter a whole lot right now. The biggest thing is, it's just being safe and being able to play games. That's my biggest concern more than whether or not you have a losing streak, a winning streak, what your record is, because there have been teams that haven't played yet. And how would the NBA make up those games when teams have missed them? So that's the biggest thing that I always wonder about. I mean, for example, the Lakers will play the Detroit Pistons on, what, Saturday?
Saturday.
Well, Detroit had their game postponed. Who were they going to play against?
Denver.
Their game postponed.
BT. DBT, that game was postponed against Denver. Lakers got Denver on Thursday. So both of the next two games for the Lakers was the game that was postponed.
So just think about that. I mean, could it happen? Could they finally be one of the teams that ends up missing a game because of protocols? You know, I don't know. I hope that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing that I think about the most, more than I do records right now.
BT, what's your thoughts on, it looks like, there's going to be an All-Star game. Are you surprised? So from an entertainment perspective, you know, hey, great, another game. But I'm actually surprised that they would be going through with it because of all the circumstances that you just laid out. And I think for the Lakers, it is a disadvantage because LeBron James and Anthony Davis could be using those days to just kind of kick back and rest. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, anytime you're dealing with money, which is what this is about, to be honest, is making more money for the product. In that regard, I'm not surprised that they want to have this All-Star game. I do wonder if some players will opt out. From what I read, I think you would have that option.
Interesting.
In past years, you did not. So who would say, hey, look, it's not worth flying all the way across country from the West Coast to go play in this game? I want to rest my body.
Sure.
Because if you're AD and LeBron and you played and you had, what, 70-some days off before you got a chance to play again to start the regular season? You know, so I wonder about that. But when it comes to money, the NBA, just like Major League Baseball and the NFL, they're trying to make all that they can.
Sure.
And if that requires having an All-Star game, then they'll have that too.
Man, you know, it reminds me of Brad Turner. You know, BT, just money coming in from everywhere. Everywhere he looks.
Everywhere except for Michael Thompson. Can't even get a bottle of wine out of that cheap dude.
I don't think I'm losing faith, BT, that a bottle of wine is coming your way from MT. I feel like he's dodging it now. When I bring it up to him, he tries to change the subject. He's like, well, what are we doing for the pregame show?
That sounds like Michael Thompson.
Brad Turner from the LA Times joining Lakers talk. BT, a couple more for you here. Road trip, you beat the Milwaukee Bucks. You lost to the Sixers by one. You beat Boston by one. So the three kind of marquee matchups, the potential statement games, three of the four teams that can really come out of the Eastern Conference, leaving Brooklyn out of that. Lakers will get Brooklyn on February 18th. What'd you think against the Lakers? What'd you think for the Lakers against the elite competition that they faced in that seven-game road trip?
Now, first of all, I'll say they went in 5-2.
Yeah.
Let's not take away from that. Mm-hmm. That's impressive. And you're on the road that long. But they had a chance to beat Philadelphia. You know, they lost in the last second shot. They ended up beating Boston by playing some great last-second defense. So we just saw a team that knows how good they are, knows what they can do to get things accomplished. Well, so the idea that against the two elite teams, they went 1-1, that's 500.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, and on the road, so you'll take that. Understanding that you get Boston again in L.A., and you get Philly again in L.A., and just have to find a way to beat them at home, which is something they have to do better at because, what, they're 4-4 at home? It's not too good.
That's interesting.
They have to improve upon that, yeah.
Especially, BT, the next five games for the Lakers are going to be at Staples Center. You know, usually you want some, you know, you're excited. It's the home cook, and now you're almost almost need Lakers to get out on the road.
Yeah.
So see if Lakers can change that. The next game, so you got the Lakers and the Nuggets. So we talked a little bit about the top of the Western Conference. Where do you think Denver falls? I mean, Denver played the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals last season. We all know what happened to the Clippers. What do you think? You think Denver gets back there, or do you think it's going to be much more of a challenge this year with Clippers and the Utah Jazz in the way?
You know, it's going to be a challenge, but I still think Denver's a top four team in the West, and they're starting to prove that now. I mean, obviously, they're locked in the number four spot. They have a good team. They lost some key players, but they've got Jamal Murray and Jokic, and that says a lot about how good they are. Now, if they can get Michael Porter Jr. to start playing better basketball again, that's going to help them because he is a rising star in this league. He may be a year or two away from becoming that top-notch star, but they have some pieces, and they got to the Western Conference Finals, so they know what it takes to get there and how to play the game the right way. So I think there'll be a top four in the West. Beyond that, I mean, it's just so hard to say. Utah has somewhat surprised me that they are now, what, 15-5? They are the top seed for all intents and purposes in the Western Conference. Well, I didn't see. I thought they could be a top five team, but they're number one right now. So kudos to them.
Well, BT, appreciate you coming on, bud. We always appreciate your insight. I mean, I'm looking up. I got Spectrum on. I see Brad Turner on TV. He's doing radio. I mean, it's a busy man. L.A., it's a very, very busy man. So we greatly appreciate your time, all right?
Thank you.
All right, that's Brad Turner right there. Okay, so next five games for the Lakers. So you got Denver, Detroit, Oklahoma City, and Memphis. So all five of those games will be at Staples Center. Thursday's game, by the way, a 7 o'clock tip-off. Couple quick announcements here. If you missed any part of the show, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on the ESPN app or on iTunes. So catch all 2 hours. Catch my interview with John Ireland. If you missed any part of that interview with Brad Turner, we had a ton of good topics. Right when this show ends, I'm going to go do another half hour of Lakers Talk on our ESPN Los Angeles social platform. So Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. Curtis and I are still huge on MySpace, so we're all over that. Okay, so that's where we're going to go from here. Lakers, Denver Nuggets, this upcoming Thursday. So 7 p.m. will be tip-off. 5:30 will be the pregame show, and I will tell you that's going to be a good matchup. I'm looking forward. This is a repeat of the Western Conference Finals. Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. We get all these star players going up against Anthony Davis and LeBron James. LA, as always, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa for Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.